Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode number 50, and we are recording Sunday, March the 11th, 2012. That's right, episode 50. Oh my God, I cannot believe we have been doing this for 50 episodes. And I'm so excited because I'm surrounded by guests tonight. Just to fill you in, Deirdre had a very important test she had to study for and get ready for tomorrow and this big paper, so she was not able to make it. But we have our very own mayor who writes a column for us called Two Credits, and she has decided to join us tonight, and I'm so glad she came to my rescue. Hello, Mayor.
Hi, Carla. How you doing?
I am so glad you're here. I was going to panic.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
I was going to panic. I was going to say, oh, I'm going to be here by myself with a guest, and I don't know what to do.
No. Can't let that happen. You know I'm always happy to come in, fill in.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you're here. Now, that brings us to our extra special guest. Tonight we have Medros from All Things Azeroth. He is a host for them. And I'm sure he also produces it, knowing him. And he produces the Chronicles of the Old Republic, which are all part of the DonForge.com family. Welcome, Medros.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I am so excited to actually have you on our show. I have been listening to you literally for years. I mean, you have been doing this a long time for All Things Azeroth, which is, for those that do not know, a World of Warcraft podcast. And don't worry, we're not going to hold that against you. because you're producing the Chronicles of the Old Republic. And yes, he does play. Okay.
Yes, I do. I love playing the game.
That is excellent. So you're going to have to tell us, what do you play?
Everything that's on the Republic side. I have two smugglers, three Jedi Knights, one Consular, and one Trooper. But my two highest levels are a Jedi Knight and a smuggler.
Do you have a level 50 yet?
No.
Ooh, you're playing lots of alts.
Not really, actually. I've been doing a lot of professions, between work and of course, running the DonForge Network. It's a lot of work. I don't really have as much time as I would like to for gaming and stuff, but I'm just trying to learn the game, and I do love the story behind any game I play, so I'm trying to really give the time that the story needs to unfold.
That's really good. A lot of us don't tend to do that, and that's one of the things that I have really enjoyed about Star Wars The Old Republic is, of course, the story. But I'm also one of those that if I've heard it once, space bar.
Yeah, having three Jedi Knights, and of course, once you hit Coruscant, you're going through the same worlds over and over. It's, other than the class quest, it's very difficult to find the stories all that enthralling the second, third, and 10th time around.
Exactly.
But I am looking forward to rolling Sith when the next patch comes out, and I can fully explore the legacy options.
Ooh, yeah. I heard about
that.
Yeah,
he's going to come to the dark side and never go back.
I know, he's going to really like that, it when he gets there.
That's unlikely. I've noticed something about Star Wars and World of Warcraft. The good guys have blue, mm-hmm. The bad guys have red. I always go blue, but I do like to see how the red side goes a little bit. But I'm in my heart, I'm always blue.
What professions are you? You said you like to do your professions. Which one is your favorite?
My favorite one for coin, of course, is slicing. My favorite one for crafting is got to be cyber tech, because you can make, your own bikes, you can make ship armor and ship, accessories. And there's a lot of stuff you can do with that profession. But I do have, I actually spent some time at work one day, literally going through all of the different professions and figuring out which ones would be best for each profession. And then I actually have a list of all my characters and which professions I've assigned them to, so that I have one of every single profession.
Oh, wow.
Well, then you're going to be ready for when they get that cell phone app that I keep hoping that they'll come out with so you can control your crew skills.
I would absolutely love that, but then I'd probably go broke very fast, because as it is right now, my slicing is currently supporting a lot of my other professions on other characters, because when you have a level 10 or 20 who doesn't do any missions, only does crew skills, you go through money very fast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I now have one profession at 400, which is my cyber tech on my consular.
Oh, nice. So you can make ships.
Well, I apparently eventually I'll get there when I'll see when I get there. But I've also got my slicing as well up to 400, but that's more of a gathering sort of.
Well, you'll be able to make ships when they let us make ships, but you can make ship
Yeah.
parts. Yeah.
Yeah, so I can make ship parts, and I can also make three different levels of bikes, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. All righty.
There's your
Okay.
tease for future later on the
Exactly,
show.
our tease. Okay, that it's now time for our host challenge.
Fact,
you know it to be true.
Or fiction.
That's impossible.
Okay, I am going to read three bits of information or three leads about the game. Two of them will be made up or not yet confirmed. Only one will be a fact confirmed by BioWare. Your job is to pick out which one is true. You guys ready to play the game?
Sure.
Yep.
All righty. Lead number one. A new vote to kick feature for PvP will be added in 1.2. Lead number two. Chat bubbles are coming, but will not be in patch number 1.2. Lead number three. The new flashpoint in 1.2 will be called Novar Coast. So, after hearing all three leads, which one do you think is the confirmed fact? Medris, we're going to go with you as our guest.
Can I ask you one more time to repeat number two?
Chat bubbles are coming, but will not be in 1.2.
I'm going to say number two.
You can collaborate if you'd like. And Mayor, what do you think?
I'm going to say number one, that vote to kick, because I remember reading about that vote to kick for PvP and that's a big deal for AFK,
Exactly.
getting rid of the AFK people. This was a great trick question. Novor Coast is going to be in 1.2, but if I remember correctly, it's not the Flashpoint, but the War Zone.
Bingo. That was my little slip trick question. And chat bubbles will be in 1.2. So
Okay.
that's.
I thought I'd read that vote to kick was possibly coming in 1.2, but could be 1.2 or 1.3, but
And it's very possible that I have made a boo-boo, and we will confirm that right up right now. I'm going to look right now because now you've got me worrying that I've said it's wrong.
I could be wrong. I may have misheard that. But yeah, the Novara Coast was. I knew it was coming, but I also knew that when I saw that in the video, it was PvP, not a raid or a dungeon
Exactly. You got
season.
that right. So that was good. That was good. Like I said, I tried to trick it up a little bit, but anyway, that's a good one. All righty. So let's get to the latest news and tour.
From the news net and beyond.
the first bit of news that I don't know whether everybody's got a chance to find this out, but we're going to be having guests from another area on the planet join us in Star Wars. New players are going to be coming in from the Asian Pacific region. And we are adding Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, and Singapore players are going to get their servers coming up very soon.
I was so excited. Well, it started actually March 1st.
It was. That's right. You're right.
March 1st. I was so excited to read that they went live, and I kind of watched the forums to see if there were a lot of issues or anything. And from what I understand, it was just smooth as could be. If anybody in those regions listens to our podcast and had any issues, let us know. But as far as we know, that, you know, everything went really, really smooth. And yeah, we've got new servers for them and they're here. Yay.
Oh, and that's going to be so great for them because, you know, there are a lot of players from Australia, especially that we know that are coming into the U.S. servers. And this is going to cut down the lag for them a lot. I'm really pleased that they're going to be able to do this.
I am very pleased about that. And I believe that and I'm not positive about this, but I'm pretty sure that they were allowed to transfer their characters.
Not until April. I actually know somebody who's been wanting to play for a while, but didn't want to get a U.S. copy, and he's recently signed up, and he's looking forward to playing with his friends in the U.S., so.
Oh, wow.
Glad to see he's joined the sweater revolution, so to speak.
Yeah, we've got a couple of people from Australia that are in our guild, and that's what they did, is they just got a U.S. copy, but... You have to believe that as much as we want them to play with us, I want them to be able to enjoy the game and not have the lag or latency that they would have by playing on a U.S. server and maybe play something that's a little closer to their home. So,
exactly.
So, but that's good that they'll be able to transfer their characters soon. I thought that was already set up, but I guess not. So
apparently, as far as I'd read, they don't have the system set up for transfers just yet. In fact, for the 1.2 PTR or public test server they have, you actually have to be invited to get a transfer or a copy of your character from live to the test realm.
Right.
The other option is that you can be actually physically in Austin to test the game as well. But they're not doing character transfers on a wide range at this point. There's actually a physical transfer of data.
Yeah, that is from, I do remember when they were talking about inviting guilds or, you know, guilds could sign up to run on the public test realm and actually get your characters copied. And that's one of the questions that we asked from the Guild Summit was, why didn't you just give us dummy characters to play over there that were level 50? And geared out or whatever, so we could test these different things. And they said, honestly, it would have taken just as much effort to create a character for everybody, because invariably it would not be the what they wanted to play, you know. So they'd have to put one of every class or something. But they said it would take just as much effort to create those characters on the public test server for everybody as it would be to just copy their characters over. So they decided people to copy their characters over.
Yeah, other game companies generally just have a pre-made character and like a pre-made male, you know, so-and-so, female so-and-so, and they choose the race randomly. And if you choose to go with that option, then you live with whatever race you have, period.
Right.
And then you would choose your advanced class and your talents and all that other stuff.
Exactly. So
I don't see why BioWare couldn't do that, but I don't know their systems well enough to really speak to that.
No, and they'll probably end up getting to that point. I mean, look how long it took WoW to get to where we could have our characters copied over to the test server for WoW. I mean, that wasn't instant either, you know. So I'm sure they'll get to something to where they can do more you know, as far as to the masses instead of by invitation. So hopefully we'll see that soon. But, you know, if not, as long as we can have a good test group to test out, I hope they test the heck out of this 1.2. I mean,
yeah, for sure. You know, that's one thing that, you know, having been a longtime WoW player and moving over to Star Wars, seeing, you know, where the Old Republic is compared to where WoW is now, and you know, I kind of, part of me thinks, you know, why couldn't they get their, seeing that, you know, basing their game somewhat of a template on what WoW's done, because WoW has very popular features that people are asking now in Old Republic. If I had been at the Guild Summit, I probably would have asked it. I actually asked it a couple of times, stuff like that, in the chat, but they never did take my questions. Darn them.
What exactly would you be asked, would you have asked?
Well, I was a little surprised that Guild Banks weren't there at launch, because they've been in WoW for a couple of the years now, and I was very surprised they didn't have a system set up for that. There's some other features from WoW, like the combat log, which really baffled me. Like, there's no combat log to see what's happening to my character. That really threw me for a loop. I'm not really a min-maxer like a lot of players are, but I was very surprised that there was no way I could find out what killed me so I could try and plan around that. That's the kind of stuff that I was kind of surprised that BioWare hadn't engineered into the game at launch. And there's other stuff like, you know, changing your UI around. You know, Blizzard from the start was really big in the mod community. They really, you know, encouraged that. And it feels like BioWare has kind of been hands-off about that idea. And that really was something I was not sure why they would not want people to build up their game and support their game for free, essentially, when there is really no loss to them. But, you know, as I said, I'm not an employee of BioWare. I don't know their logic and their thinking on that. So I really couldn't say why they chose to make the decisions they did. But that's kind of the stuff that was a bit surprising to me when I first started Star Wars.
Oh, I can certainly relate to what you're saying, because I was just dumbfounded when I heard that the game was going to release without a guild bank. I was like, you're seriously not going to do that. You know, I mean, and I keep hearing this, well, that's some of these features that we're asking for are for Elder Game, you know, and I'm thinking, no, that's what new games need to bring out, because we're used to them.
Yeah, I mean, every game company out there bringing out a game has to realize that they are bringing themselves into a market that has a set line of features that people are going to want in order to switch. If you want to take people from WoW, you need to provide a certain level of features, a certain level of experience. And, you know, from the first time I beta tested Old Republic, you know, I was very, very impressed. You know, I press B, my bag's open. That's what it does in WoW. That's what it does in Star Wars.
Right.
But as I really, you know, got into the experience further and looked at, you know, at things a little deeper than I did in the beta, which really was a weekend, and I was just so excited to have a lightsaber that I was, you know, not really paying attention to the other stuff. And I hadn't even gotten a guild at that point, so I didn't even know what was available in that regard.
Right.
You know, once I had a chance to really experience more sides of the game, that's when some of these other things kind of really made themselves apparent. And my friend Gazimov, who's formerly of the Obscure Cast, he actually gave me some tips early on in the game and in the pre-beta, or in the beta phase before pre-launch happened. He actually gave me some really great tips and warned me a bit of what to expect that I would not find in the game versus what I'd expect from World of Warcraft. So that was very nice, and that was very nice to know that, yeah, there, it's a great game, and yes, it feels very much like WoW, but there are things you're going to miss. And he was right.
Absolutely.
I have a guild bank, you know, my mule on my characters has an entire tab of in his bank full of companion gifts, because I'm really big on building the rep and all that other stuff. And he's got so many, like, he's got mail, like, pages of mail just waiting to be opened because I don't have any room in any of my bags.
Oh no.
Yeah. Let me just say, right now I'm very much looking forward to 1.2 for a lot of different reasons.
We all are. Absolutely. Okay. Well, that leads us to, the next article, Tor partners with Jinx. And for those that have lived in a closet and don't know what Jinx is, it's a wonderful shirt and apparel, gaming apparel company. They have some terrific shirts. I absolutely fell in love with the dark side, you know, with the Empire logo on it, and also the one with the dark side. What do you call that? Selector choice?
Yeah. Icon, yeah, the dark side point whatever. Choice when you're yeah. getting your dark side points. I love that icon. That was my favorite one.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And they do have a huge selection here. So I thought it was pretty good that BioWare and LucasArts partnered up to give us geeks our little gamer shirts. So if you haven't taken a look at it, we'll have a link to that in our show notes.
Yeah, I definitely want the light side shirt.
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't think people would recognize the logos for the classes as well as they do for other games. But yeah, I want the light side shirt.
I don't blame you.
And our other big news is that we can start inviting our friends to come play Star Wars for free for 7 days.
Ooh, ah.
I love the fact that we can now invite three of our friends. They can have a 7-day free trial. Of course, you've got to pick friends that really want to do this because they've only got 14 days to respond on this. But we definitely can invite our friends that are, you know, I don't know if I want to play it or not. Now we can lure them into the dark side or the light side.
Well, do you think it's kind of funny that
an invitation?
They only limited it to where you can send it to three people. I mean, why would you not be able to send it to every single friend you had?
But I'm trying to think, and I think when we first started invitations back in WoW, it was three as well. But I could be wrong on that. That's too long ago.
When they did that, they also had the ability, or there was also a reward from it. So they didn't want people having too much option for that reward. I'm a bit surprised by that limit as well. Though my co-host of my WoW podcast told me that if ever there was a free trial of this game, she would definitely give it a try. So I'll be talking to her on Monday.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm going to be posting it on my Facebook so that my friends, but I have to make sure that it's people who've got the computers to be able to run the game.
Well, not only the computers, but they have to have the connection, because I don't know about you. I mean, I do know, Mayor, I know you have a great connection. I have a DSL connection that really stinks, and it took me 2 days to download the game. I mean, it's that big. So, especially if they only got 14 days. But, you know, going back to what Medro said, or maybe it was you, Mayor, and that said about the rewards. I remember WoW limiting people, you know, how many friends you could invite, but you got something in game for inviting
exactly.
them. So yeah. I can understand them limiting that, but I don't think I get anything. I read this article and I'm going, what do I get? You know? And I don't see that I get anything for doing it. So,
well, presents. We want our presents.
We want our presents, board. Like our little ponies and our little
pets
and
pets. There
the
you go.
Pet pets. Collector. Yeah.
Yes.
For as much as I am in love with pets and WoW, I'm shocked that I've not yet got a pet in Star Wars.
Oh, wow. So I take it you didn't get the collector's edition.
No, I got the digital deluxe.
Ah, okay. Because I think I got some little droid or something.
Yeah, that's the mouse CE, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. But anyway, okay. Well, the next update, and as we're going in order here, would be the update that we saw the video for update 1.2, but we're going to kind of skip that update because that's also going to be our highlight for our community buzz, because that's what everybody's talking about.
Well, we got talked about, Tor did, on the Big Bang Theory on the March 8th episode.
Did you see it?
We went to prime time. I did not. I did not, because I don't watch sitcoms.
Yeah, see, I don't either.
But we were immortalized.
I watched it.
In sitcom land on the Big Bang Theory when, I guess it was Sheldon. Is it Sheldon?
Yes.
Is that the character? Sheldon had to choose between going to a party with Amy or spending the weekend exploring Tor. Now, see, to me, that's a no-brainer.
Me too. Explore Tor.
You know,
explore
it's like, Tor. Oh, wow, this big conflict. That wouldn't have been a conflict for me at all. It would have been bye-bye, see ya, have fun.
Yeah, let's just say that for his relationship, he didn't choose very well.
Oh, well.
I did watch the episode. It was a fun episode.
So he played too, right?
Was it correct? I mean, I've heard from other people, because, again, I didn't hear, you know, I didn't see it myself. I'm going to have to go watch this, you know, thing if it's somebody's got it recorded or something.
The internet always has things recorded.
I know. But was it correct? Was whatever he was doing or saying correct for the game?
They actually didn't talk a lot about the game. And there wasn't a lot of references to game stuff. Like, when they talked about World of Warcraft in the early, you know, first season or two, they talked, some references were correct, but, like, they talked about a sort of Azeroth and stuff, and it was, there was clearly stuff that was definitely not in game. But I think with this game, they really tried very hard not to talk too much about actual in-game, you know, quote, real stuff from the game, because they may have gotten a lot of flack that last time, but it was fun to hear them talk about it. For a game that played a central plot to a half hour show, I think they showed like a few minutes of in-game footage, like kind of a looking over this shoulder at a laptop screen, and that was about it. They didn't really reference any classes or any specific content, or even any levels at all. So,
oh, bummer. Like,
it had a very very strong feeling of general gaming reference with slight specific references like lightsabers and the Force, and that's about it.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. Alrighty. Well, that takes us to weekly patch for March the 9th was 1.1.5, and in that particular patch, you would have seen that we actually have the roll and the random command. Woohoo!
Yep.
I mean, you would think that's something so simple as a roll or a random that would have been in the game from day one. I'm sorry. I'm excited about this.
It just gives us all these little things to look forward to.
I know. But I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
I can't wait till we get.
I know. Okay. And then they also have the new high-level black yellow crystals can now be purchased from the pre-order vendor. Have you gone by and seen that yet? I haven't gone to the vendor to see. It says high-level.
The crystals?
Which vendor is that?
There is a pre-order vendor that is in an alcove. In the outer, you know, as you go, you know where the banks are on the inner ring of the fleet? I don't know about the Republic side because I don't play that. But the banks are on the inner ring, and then you have to go down the stairs and then down another set of stairs to get to the outer ring. It's down the second set of stairs in one of the alcoves right there. There is a pre-order vendor. At least it is on the Empire side.
And I'm so glad I could actually go buy my plus 41 power purple.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you got your pre-order stuff worked out. Yeah.
I did. I was so thrilled. I was like, I get my purple lightsaber. So I'm running around with my purple lightsaber.
I haven't even been there. I need to go over there because I'm not a force wielder, you know, playing my Imperial agent.
Yeah.
So it's really not been something high on my priority list, but I understand that we probably need to do that pretty fast. I don't know.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Also, several high-end speeder models have been temporarily reduced in price.
until I gotta find them.
I've gotta find them because the vendor that I went to for the what is it the security key fob vendor that speeder didn't go down. So
no,
I'm gonna try
not.
To find where the speeders have been temporarily reduced.
The one up in the VIP lounge.
Oh, it has.
Is 1 million now. I don't know what it was. Didn't it used to be 1.5?
I don't think so. I think it's always been a million.
Has it?
It might be. I don't know. I didn't buy
it. Those are the only two I've looked at so far.
Ah, okay. Also, a vendor that sells a variety of previously unavailable Endangering crystals have been added temporarily to the Imperial and the Republic fleets. And it says until game update 1.2. So the word temporary and until. So if you've not gone and gotten your in-game crystals, you better do so. Daylight requirements present for some color crystals have been removed.
Dark light.
Yep.
And I'm very excited about this because as soon as this patch hit, I went on my artificer and created a bunch of red crystals because I can now use them on all my characters.
Awesome. So you like red even though you're blue.
I like the the red sabers, yes.
I had to throw that in.
They look nice.
I had to throw that in.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, players can now build credit towards the Battle of Illum daily and weekly missions by playing War Zones. And I think we all know why, because Illum is got issues and they're going to make that go away. Well, not go away, but fix it. Healers in War Zones now receive kill credits when a healed player kills an enemy. Valor gained from War Zones has been increased. And the shader complexity preference now supports a very low option. So, and I've, you know, from all of these updates that, you know, all of these things that have been updated in the game, with the exception of the crystals that I haven't gone to see yet, I'm pretty excited about. Especially, I keep hearing wonderful things from our PvPers who were so upset.
Yeah.
By the Illum, what they saw as the Illum fiasco, even though that's a pretty strong word, but Illum does have issues, and they were very excited to see how much credit they were getting, and that some of the credits as healers, I mean, it's encouraging the healers to go and actually play, because I know as a healer, I was kind of getting frustrated because I wasn't getting near the medals and points that, you know, I thought I should get when I stayed, you know, healing is everybody I could heal, you know. So I know our PvPers are very excited.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that leads us to our personal playtime. And I know that we hit Medros off right off the bat, but we didn't ask him, what is your highest level character?
My highest level right now is a level 38 smuggler. I tried really hard to get up to 40 before the show, but unfortunately I was not able to do so.
How do you like the smuggler class, and what are you playing on the smuggler?
Slinger. It's interesting. Ironically, if he wasn't my highest level, I probably wouldn't be getting him. I probably wouldn't be leveling him. But he, by the time I had really gotten into my other classes, I'd already had him so high that it just made sense to get him all the way up to at least first opening up my legacy last name, and then, you know, getting up to 50. I don't like the smuggler as much as I do the other classes that I've tried, which is I played a lot of the knight and a lot of the trooper. I'm dedicated now to getting him up to 50, and then he'll probably just sit there for a while.
Oh, wow. What is it that you don't like about the smuggler? I mean, did you say you're what class of the...
Gunslinger.
Gunslinger. Okay. What don't you like about
that? I find I die too often, and I find that he doesn't do the damage output that I would want him to do. And it may just be that I don't understand that class as well as I do the other ones, because my Trooper and my Jedi Knight that I've played, those are exactly where I want to be. I'm not finding that there's a lot of stuff that I'm running into a wall against. And it's it's not as fun playing my smuggler as I would like it to be, unfortunately.
Okay. I can certainly relate to that, because I feel basically the same way that you do about your smuggler as I do about my Imperial Agent Operative Healer, because she's very squishy, and she doesn't heal as well as other classes, and I don't feel epic. That's been my complaint all along, and it's even been driven home to me by playing the Sith Inquisitor Sorcerer. I started my little baby Sith Sorcerer.
And what level is she now?
She is level 19, and she kicks ass. I am just like, oh my god, she is so powerful. I can do heroic twos by myself with my companion. I could not do that with my Imperial Agent. And I'm playing a bounty hunter as well, because we're part of our clone army and our guild. And I just got her to 14, almost 15. And I can't do the heroic twos with that one either. So, yeah, that's Sis Sorcerer. She's bad. She's bad. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. So what about you, Mayor?
I adore mine. Huh?
What about you? What are you doing?
I've got my Inquisitor, and of course I've been working on my companion's affection, and I almost have the last one, Ashara. I have her almost all the way to 10,000. I've got her at like 9,000 something, I think, now. So I've been working on all of their affections. Mm-hmm. And of course my bounty hunter with the clone army.
Right.
And my other bounty hunter that I level with your little
My little sorcerer, right. Now, are you taking those two different classes?
No. They're both merc.
Are they? One DPS and one healing, or are they both DPS, both healing?
Well, I've got the one that I play with you. She's DPS for now, but she's going to switch to healing.
Okay.
And the other one is DPS, but, you know, that's a guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that one.
I feel the same way about your clone guy as I do my clone guy.
Yeah. Yeah. What I like about playing with him is the fact that we're all playing those together.
Right.
Our little clones. And so I enjoy the social aspect of that. But my real bounty hunter is the one that I'm leveling with you. So
yeah, with the Sith. Right. Okay. That's cool. Okay. I think that leads us to our quick mentions.
It does. And you know what? One of the things that I'd like to spend a little bit more than quick, but quick, is this article that was on the Wall Street Journal site, and it was called When Gaming is Good for You. Everybody's really big on talking about how bad gaming is and how it leads to violence and all of this stuff. And this particular article is going over the researchers that find that it's changing it's physically changing the brain for the better.
I was amazed by this. And by the way, Kathy, thank you. It was from one of your Facebook posts that I saw the article, and it was fabulous. You always have this way of finding these little creative articles that apply to the game, and this was amazing. And I loved how the article talks about how gamers start using more of their brain. And I mean, it even goes on to say that people that play action-based video and computer games make decisions 25% faster than others without sacrificing accuracy. My goodness, did you just hear that? 25% faster than others without sacrificing accuracy. Get out there and play them games.
really, I've thought this all along. I've thought that it keeps your brain going, especially as we get older. The gaming actually is a boon. It keeps you alive. It keeps that brain working, and you have to figure out things. And I'm really glad that something like the Wall Street Journal chose to publish a positive article for once instead of the negative that we usually get. So it was really nice seeing a respected
source.
Yeah. Source, thank you. A respected source that was going to actually point out the good things and back it up. Back it up with all these different researches. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out, that'll be in our notes as well. And be sure to read that article because it was fabulous.
Okay. And the other quick mentions are stop by our website at CorellianRun.com and check out the HoloNet links. And we've got a great article, Force Lore, on the Essilus this week. And then Mayer's column, My Two Credits. This is a really unusual article, but it's really good. It's called SWTOR, Staying Power. Go check that out. And then also our guild checkpoint where we highlight our guilds.
Always read the articles, especially My Two Credits. I had fun writing that one. It was a little departure. And I'm going to follow up a little more on that Wall Street Journal article. I'm going to have an upcoming column that's going to talk about that.
Yeah,
the topic
I thought
that
was pretty good.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, that leads us to our Sith or Jedi challenge.
Sith.
Strong am I with the Force.
Or Jedi.
Okay, last time we found out that Deirdre set the bar as she chose the dark path when passing the Little Miss Princess.
And we found out that you, Carla, could not help yourself as you taunted the princess, and you also took the dark path.
Okay, so far our scores stand at Carla -7 and Deirdre 0. Remember, negative scores reflect a dark side tendency, while positive scores reflect a light side tendency.
And mine aren't posted, but I am a -4.
Ooh, okie dokie.
So today we have, I love this topic today because anybody who knows me knows I don't pug.
Right.
Anybody who knows me for 3 seconds knows I don't pug.
Right.
So here's this particular test this week is test of the outrageous pug group. You're a healer in a pug, and the tank is being an outrageous jerk. Though there have been no major problems, the tank is constantly demanding instant debuff cleansing and faster heals, but he's unwilling to slow down when pulling mobs. It gets to the point where they're calling you the worst healer in the game, even though you've asked repeatedly for them to slow down. Even though you're doing a great job, the two other members of your pug don't speak up to support you, and one of them even complains about a slow heal they received. Suddenly, the tank pulls a few too many mobs to handle easily. Do you? 1. Heal everybody like a pro, sacrificing yourself in the process to show them how good you really are. Or 2. Just do what you can, and if there's a wipe, blame the tank. Or 3, port out ASAP the minute he pulls and let the bitches die.
Ooh. Ah. Ooh.
I know which one I picked. You can read all of the past Sith or Jedi tests on our site at CorelliumRun.com. Keep your own scores and see which way you lean.
Okay, now we've got to decide what we're going to choose. Let's see. Medros, what would you do?
Well, the first problem I have with this is that I don't heal, primarily because of these kind of situations. I wouldn't port out because that's not kind of the person I am. I suck at healing, so the first one's definitely out. So I'd probably choose 2.
All right. Well, that's the neutral path. Okay. What about you, Mayor?
Oh, port out. I would not normally, but it's a pug.
That's where, you know, first of all, for those that don't know what a pug is, that is a pick-up group. That is where you have, you know, join random strangers to try to get a group objective done, whether it be a flashpoint or whatever. And I'm a healer, as everyone knows. And I probably would have poured it out long before it got to this particular point because I have little tolerance for showboating. And it sounds like you have a showboat of a tank. And I would have said, bye-bye, find another healer. This is not for me. But I don't know what I would do in this situation because I'm one of those that I always stay to the end and I always die and then I always gripe and I complain because my repair bill is so high.
Yep. You know? That was my first choice. When I actually took the test, I had a plus one on that one. I was going to heal everybody and show them how awesome I was and die. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, not with my repair bills, I'm not.
Well, and that's that in this game. You know, you try to do everything you can to not pay the exorbitant high repair bill. What I would have probably done is, number one, I probably would have healed everyone as a pro, and I would have self-sacrificed myself, and then I would have called them all bad names and left after it was all over. I would have been cranky the rest of the day as well.
I would have been coming to you and saying, but no, actually, see, the whole thing is I would have never been in this situation to begin with.
I know. We usually don't have to get in this type of a situation because, you know, we have so many people in our guild that want to run stuff.
Yeah.
But I have been known at strange times to pug heal different things, you know. So
you don't want to know how long it took me to get my puppy in WoW. My pug puppy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that leads us to our community buzz. That sound means it's time for our community buzz, where we take a look at what the fans are talking about. And as promised, it's all about 1.2, the update and the legacy and the guild summit that just happened over this past weekend. What did y'all think of that video?
I loved it.
The video was definitely interesting. As I told you guys in the pre-show, it frustrated me. They had this segment, I think it was about 10 seconds or so, of a series of features, and they were kind of all jumbled up on the screen, and some were fading in and out, and I wanted to know what they all said. So I went literally frame by frame. Now, 10 seconds doesn't sound like a lot, but there's 24 frames per second. So that was like 250 frames. And you know, very closely examining each segment of text on each frame to see if it was a bit easier to read or if I could figure out what it said. And they actually cheated because there were several duplicates in that. But there were some that were not as well noticeable as others, and I actually did note all of them down.
And I'm gonna cheat and use your list so that we have something to talk about as far as each of the topics. One of the things that they mentioned, that we're gonna get new vehicles. What did y'all think about the new vehicle situation? I was kind of excited to know that we're gonna get new vehicles, but I also understood, and it could be because I was just there at the Guild Summit, but I understand that the training is going down, but the price of the vehicles are going up. So
I believe the second rank vehicles are prices going down. Mm-hmm. Third rank vehicles, the price is going up. And the training price is going down so that overall the price is lower for doing speeder training.
So we've been telling everybody, go buy those level 3 speeders.
No kidding.
Yes, because with 1.15, they actually lowered the price of some of those speeders as well.
Yeah. But anyway, There's also going to be new craftable augments and new crafting schematics. I think that's much needed.
Yeah, those are like the more end game specific ones, I think.
And I think this is about where they talked about that they're going to change maybe some of the schematics to where they're not, the items are not BOP as much as they were, that there some of them are going to be changed to BOE, or maybe it's the schematics are going to be BOE and the new ones, and maybe those items will be BOE. Because I think that the biggest complaint that people have been having so far with some of this stuff is you can only make it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to the end game and you get these nice drops of these nice schematics, and it's only something you can make for yourself. You can't share it by making it for someone else. So I hope that they do change some of that.
I do, too.
Yeah. One thing I'm really looking forward to is the CyberTech vehicles going BOE. That is overdue.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, because I would have loved to have a CyberTech make me a nice, cool speeder, because they do look different.
Yes. So.
That's cool. And we're going to get new lightsaber colors. Ship droids will gain affection. I don't know how useful that is. I just want the restraining bolt.
Oh, God, yes. The thing that annoys me most about C2N2 is that even if I've just gone in a circle around my ship or passed by him several times, he says something every time. He's painted my ship 5 times in the span of the time that I've walked around the circle of my smuggler ship. And that's really amusing, because that's a pretty fast-paced job and it didn't look any different.
Exactly. But I do think that because we do use him for crafting, that is a positive thing, that he does gain affection. So don't know what he'll like, but we could save up for those gifts. Legacy item. There's going to be legacy item drops. What did y'all understand that to be?
I have no idea.
Yes.
I thought that meant that we'd get drops from just different mobs that we could use for our other alts.
Maybe legacy bound items, I guess. Like it was sort of like WoW House account bound items.
Oh yes, I remember them saying that now. Yes.
Is that correct? Did I guess
legacy,
right?
It could be legacy items that were bound to your account, but you can still mail them or give them to your alts. So as long as it's going to you. Then there are new role-playing emotes. They are going to be stackable companion gifts. Thank goodness.
Oh, yes.
You know, I also mentioned this in the pre-show. I don't recall exactly how many slots the 4 lines of your bags plus the one bank tab you get is.
Mm-hmm.
But my mule character has all of those filled up with companion gifts and mail upon pages of mails waiting to be opened, because I have nowhere to put them. I have no more room.
Exactly.
And a lot of them are for a while now I've been leveling a lot of my gathering professions, like the diplomacy, investigation, underworld trading, and treasure hunting. I was leveling those using the companion gifts, because my companions need gifts to get good rep. But I have, 30 of the same kind, because I don't have a companion that has any care for the item, like Imperial memorabilia.
Right.
On the Republic side, there's not a lot of companions that give a crap about that gift, that kind of gift.
Well, maybe your droid will like it.
Oh, I
sell them.
I don't find that companion gifts sell for all that much. I think last time I looked on the GTN, I think I saw level 4 gifts going for about 150 credits.
Oh, they're going for several thousand on our server.
Yeah. For some reason, Garada the Hutt is a crappy server. I don't know why.
Well, anyway, whether they sell for a little bit or a whole lot, it's still better than just hanging on to them if nobody uses them. But anyway, let's see. Oh, here's one I'm really excited about. First of all, reverse engineering is
random.
And it increases the chance of researching schematics. I mean, I'm so frustrated with my biochem doing reverse engineering, trying to get some of these to go purple, that I've given up. So I'm kind of waiting for 1.2 so I can save my supplies and reverse engineer my hands off.
Yeah.
You know, I had mixed luck on reverse engineering stuff. I've had ones, you know, sometimes I'll log in and I'll hit reverse, you know, successful reverse engineer within two or three creations. And I've had other ones that I make 30 or 40 of the thing and I don't get one.
Right.
I've heard that. Crazy. I've heard that from other people. I've been really lucky. The things that I've tried to reverse engineer, I haven't gone for many purples, but the few that I have tried to go for, I've gotten within three or four.
That's pretty good because yeah, I've gotten
been really lucky.
You know, I've go through streaks of, I've only got like three purple implants that I've been working on. And I know I have been reverse engineering. I bet you I've done 40 or 50 implants trying to reverse engineer them to get it to go purple for a specific trait or whatever. And I'm pretty frustrated with it. So I'm glad to see it.
What level do you get to make implants? Because my biochem is like 40 or maybe 50 and I haven't seen one yet.
You know, I don't know. I've been 50 for so long and done the implants for a while now. So I don't know if it's closer to 400 or if it's, you know, above 350. I really don't know. All I know is I've got a lot of them because I know you can eventually train it at your trainer to get your initial ones. So, then let's see, there's going to be crystal formations on Alderaan.
Yay.
I guess that means we're going to be able to farm those. So, or something. That's kind of cool. Combat logs for all of you that wanted them. And what I thought was really cool about these combat logs is these are not going to be combat logs that you can spam people with in the middle of the game. I love that. I mean, I hated combat logs because I'm not a min-maxer. That people would say, oh, look, here's my DPS, and bam! They spam you with all this combat log stuff. And, I mean, we ended up having to make a rule back in my old guild that no combat logs during a raid. I mean, because it was just horrible. Everybody was hitting them here and hitting them there. I mean, it would scroll things off, important stuff off your screen because they're spamming their combat log. These are going to be combat logs that you have to go to an external site to see. So,
I like that.
You know, it's got to be done out of game. So I really like that feature.
I do too.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Augments in craftable gear, orange gear. What I thought was really cool is that you now have the, you know, in 1.2, you're going to have the chance to get augments for your orange gear. So your orange gear is going to be really, really good. You know,
I like that.
So I like that too. Companion gift cooldown removed. Wow.
I like that.
I never understood why they put that in there to begin with.
Yeah, it was just.
I just want to feed it to them and get it over with, you know. And if I've got 10, I want to give them 10. You know, don't make me wait. What was it? It wasn't really a long time. It was like a minute.
No, it was like 30 seconds, something like that, 30, 40 seconds in between.
Seems like it was longer. 30. Seemed like it was a hell of a lot longer than that. Especially when you're standing there trying to feed it to them. So.
Yeah, you can actually look at bar there, and it'll actually show you the debuff that you get when you do that.
Uh-huh.
It's 30 seconds, and it's when you have to give, like, 20 or 30 gifts to your companion, it is the longest 30 seconds you'll ever go through.
Exactly. Yes, that's why I thought it was longer.
Well, I've spent the, like I said, the last week, I think, raising Ashara. So I've been doing her in, I started off the week, I had her at 2000 something, and now she's in the nines. So you can imagine how many gifts I've been giving her over this last week, because heaven knows she doesn't like anything I do.
Of course not. Being on the because dark you're, side. Because you're so. Bad. You're bad. You know, so, you're bad.
I'll be glad to have this. Not necessarily I'll be done with my Sork, but I'll be glad to have it for my alts when it comes time to raise affection for their characters.
Ah, no kidding. Then it says that cybertech vehicles will no longer be BOP, which is good, good, good. Yeah. Ship droids can now be silenced via mod, whatever that means.
There's the bolt thing that they talked about.
Yeah, that bolt, because we want to
shut him
make
up.
Him shut up. And then the lots of things can be unlocked via the legacy system. This is something that I really want us to talk about. The biggest feedback that I felt that came out of the Guild Summit was when they announced that to participate with your legacy, you could actually play the opposite faction to unlock something. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everyone, I'm not saying everyone, most people at the Guild Summit was pretty shocked, and some were very upset about that announcement because they believe that it will dilute their guild. Because if they're an Empire guild and they've got people that are playing, trying to get something unlocked for their legacy, that they have to play a Republic character, how are they going to communicate with that Republic person? You know, they can't, they're not in the guild. They mm-hmm. can't send them an in-game mail. They unless it's done over Vent or TeamSpeak or Mumble, there's no way to contact that person to, you know, say, hey, we need you for this raid, or, you know, why don't you come do this flashpoint with us, or whatever the case may be. It kind of isolates whoever is playing that legacy character. And I gotta say, I'm one of those, I don't like it. I don't like the fact that, well, first of all, I'm in a very large guild. So every one of my characters are tied up to a guild right now, because we are large and we have to spread ourselves around. But we have, because my guild is so large, we have an Empire chapter, which is a set of guilds for the Empire on one server. And we have a set of guilds for the Republic on another server. All right. We did that for a reason. Number one, one of the biggest complaints that we see at Ilum right now is the people exchanging kills of opposite factions, where, you know what I'm talking about, where they exploit by swapping kills. You know, we're not talking about PvP. We're saying, okay, I'll kill you 10 times, you kill me 10 times, I'll kill you 10 right. times. You know, we're talking about trading kills. Okay. That's yeah. not, that's not PvP. All right.
No.
And so that's why we, as in the infinite wisdom of our administrators, made a rule that when we do have a game that has two different factions, we're on two different servers, because we don't ever want to be accused of doing something inappropriate. Well, now they're saying it's okay, not our guild, but the game is saying it's okay to have Republic characters, and it's okay to have Empire characters, and they're on the same account, and you're the same person playing it. And it's got written all kinds of wrong to me all over it, because it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. I'm one of those that I wish that they would not make this legacy system server bound but account bound. You know, I don't even care if it forces me to change my legacy name on another server because I'm on another server and somebody else has it. That doesn't bother me. I would not mind changing my name on another server if I went to and played a Republic character on another server. I just don't think that we should intermingle our little family on the same server like that. Thoughts?
It doesn't bother me because I didn't get into playing opposite faction even in WoW for like years and years and years. I don't have room right now for Republic, so it's a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to delete one of my Empire characters because I've got all my slots filled right now. Mm-hmm. I'd have to delete one of my Empire characters, one of my placeholder names, to make a Republic character. It doesn't bother me, but I don't think they'd get any play time. So I'm kind of like going to have to. But if we need all four of those, that doesn't let me have my second, my two bounty hunters or my two sorts like I want.
Right.
So I'd rather it, I don't object for the reasons you object, but I object.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yes.
I just don't have the room for it. But if they want to give me more slots, I'll be happy to make little Republic characters on our server.
What about you, Madras?
Well, for me, I guess my first point would be that kill trading isn't as much about policy as it is about ethics. If the people who are playing ethically and not doing stuff that is quite obviously outside of what the game makers have wanted, then there should be no problem with characters of both factions on your server. If BioWare did not want you to play or have the option to play both Republic and Empire on the same server, they would have put that limitation in, much like Blizzard did early on in World of Warcraft. As for playtime and all that other stuff, I definitely understand that because it does take a lot of time to play any one character, and if you can't send things across faction, which they are working on. That's what I heard of from the Guild Summit. You know, without that ability, then it does have issues there. But for me personally, I don't have any issues truly with the idea of playing both factions on the same server. I do plan when 1.2 hits and some of the legacy features are unlocked that have been promised, I do plan to play a Sith. Not sure which class yet, but I will be playing something on the Empire, at least one character, possibly two. And I have no problem with the decisions that they've made in that regard. And I'm very excited to see what different things they can do with that ability and what ways they can expand it. As for expanding it, you know, account-wide, the problem then becomes, you know, if I have a character on 10 or 20 different servers or whatever the limitation is, I don't even know what limitations there is per account for character creation, then I've pretty much locked up that name on every one of those servers. And that takes a name out of the pool for people who may want to have that legacy name. And it does, I think, hurt the ability, much like the first name of a character, to create a variety of options for names. First names can be a variety of things, but generally I think the legacy name for a lot of people is something that is important to them, and they want that ability to have, you know, the legacy name be something that is meaningful to them. And if that is taken by somebody who has a character on a bunch of different servers, that will impact on their enjoyment of the game, I would think.
What do you think, though, about those guilds that say it's diluting our guild by people playing? And when I went back and I read about the in-game mail, it's only you that, mm-hmm. through your legacy, that you can send cross-faction mails to someone in your legacy. Okay.
Yes, but then you could forward that along to somebody in your guild on the other side.
But you, the person, let's say it's, we're getting ready to run a flashpoint and we're going to run a hard mode and you're looking for your tank. Okay. And you know that he said about an hour or so ago that he's going to go and play his Republic character because he wants to try to unlock one of those abilities and holler at him if, you know, we need him. And you try to get a hold of him and you can't because you can't talk to that other person unless you log into a Republic character or, you know, opposite faction character to try to find him and get a hold of him. Do you not think this is going to cause issues for smaller guilds that don't have the people pool that a guild as large as mine does? I mean, don't you see that this could create an issue for them?
Absolutely. I can definitely see how this might be an issue for guilds. However, I've since I began actually playing in a significant fashion the game, I have for a while now considered what the importance of the guild is in this game, because for me at least, I find that with so many cutscenes as I'm leveling my characters from accepting missions to all kinds of stuff, that let me clarify one more thing before I continue. Maybe, you know, once I can actually rearrange my UI so it's something I can actually handle, this might be different, but at this point I am finding that far too often I am losing my guild's thread of conversations in all of the stuff that the game sends my way, from, oh, you killed something, you got these three things as drops, you got this much experience and this much credits. I don't have much room on my screen for anything, you know, anything more than two or three drops or two or three kills before whatever was said is gone on my screen. And to see what is being said in the conversations that happened for missions, I'm losing even more because there's, you know, page after page of conversation. So I'm truly curious how important a guild is. Maybe it's more important at level 50, but leveling my character, I haven't seen the need for a guild in most cases. And maybe that's just how I play. Maybe that's just how my experience has gone. Maybe it's not the same for everybody else. But I don't see the importance of a guild in Star Wars The Republic at this point. And hey, if that changes, I'll be happy to admit it. But that's just my experience so far.
I think that you hit on something there that has been an underlying rumble all along, is that Star Wars The Old Republic feels like a single player game in an MMO world.
Very much so. Yes, okay. Very much so.
And that is even more so how guilds are struggling to keep people motivated and moving forward, because you are going to soon find out you are going to need a guild, because when your character hits 50, you can't solo those flashpoints. You can't solo those operations. You know, you're going to need to rely on your guildmates, and hopefully you have, you know, leveled up with some of them. Just to give you an example of what we do is, and I think it's pretty typical for most people in guilds, is we have assigned a little mute button in our mumble. It's called Deafen Self. And you can press that. We've got it assigned to a key, and you can press it when you're in a cutscene and then release it. But a lot of us hang out in mumble to get to know each other. And we also group together as we're going through some of these planet quests and stuff, so that we can kind of get, you know, people kind of form relationships or whatever. We've tried to do that early on, because as we get to 50 and we need people to run flashpoints with and operations with, we've developed those bonds with fellow guildmates. There are a lot of loner players out there. My husband is one of them. He would just as soon solo as he would group. I mean, if he could solo in game, he would do that. That's just his style. Okay. And the beauty of this game is he can do just that until he hits the end game. So, this game does have a little bit of everything for everybody, but, this is the frustrating part that for guilds is just exactly what you said. Right now, you don't need a guild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need anybody but yourself, because you've got your cutscenes you're going through. You can do your content. You can get your crafting materials. But there's so much more to the game that maybe you're not seeing. For example, we do Datacron runs. We do world boss runs. Have you done the world bosses yet?
I've seen a couple world bosses, but I've ran the other way. I also have not yet done a single operation or flashpoint successfully. I tried to do Essel's early on and found that my lag was so bad to the point where I couldn't do it. The guy on the bridge of the ship in Essel's would kick me back, and it would take me a good 2 minutes to recover from the lag, so that I could try and point myself back towards him, and then I would get within, you know, hitting distance, and again he'd kick me back again. So that was the last time I ever tried a flashpoint in the game. Admittedly, lag has gotten a lot better since then. I can actually run through Coruscant or the fleet and not constantly be running into everything. But I guess that point, you know, that experience really, you know, soured me to the idea of doing flashpoints. As well, my guild, currently the highest level is a 42.
Mm-hmm.
He has stopped playing the game, and I will likely beat him to 50. So, yeah. Not a lot of stuff for me to do at 50.
Because I have played in a laggy situation, whether that be my computer or whether that be my connection, I can remember gaming in like EverQuest and even early WoW, when WoW did have latency issues. I can remember what I used to call rubber banding. I would go forward and then rubber band back. And go forward and rubber band back.
Do you remember when you'd get on the Griffin and then you could fly the Griffin around yourself because you were lagged, or when you'd constantly be bent over trying to pick something up no matter where you went and what you did?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Fun times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, in your case, you might want to try to turn your shader all the way down.
It is.
Low. Okay. Because that was a big issue. It was kind of doing something bad.
Yeah, every patch they put out, I check the video settings to see if there's any way I can turn something else down so that I can actually play. And I give BioWare great credit. They have worked very hard and done a lot to help me play.
Right.
But so far, what they have done has not quite been enough. I still don't feel that I don't feel it'll be fair for me to ask anybody to join a flashpoint with me, knowing that they're likely to do most of the damage and most of the fighting, and I'd probably be there to pick up the loot at the end.
Oh no.
And I don't think that's very fair to the people I'll be playing with.
Well, you know, I know that there's a lot of people that are in your situation. So, I mean, even more so, this is why it's good that you can do other things. Have you tried PvP? Do you lag in PvP situations?
I don't like PvP at all.
Okay. I just wanted to know if you'd ever tried the war zones.
I'm definitely a hardcore, as hardcore as I can be. I'm hardcore into PvE. I don't like to, I don't feel that fighting against people who are just trying to have fun like me, I don't feel that's an enjoyable thing. I understand there's a lot of people who enjoy PvP, and that's to their to themselves, but I'm just not kind of not I've never enjoyed it. I started WoW on a PvP server, and that I really hated it. Like, I was dying all the time.
Oh, bless you. It's annoying. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But anyway, getting back to our legacy thing.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I am just concerned for guilds out there that are small, that are going to get diluted, and not have any recourse or any way to, you know, communicate. I think it's a bad thing to mix the factions. But again, that's just my personal take on things. So, okay, well, it looks like it's that time. The end of our show already. Wow.
And we want to thank our very special guest, Medros, from All Things Azeroth. And would you please give everybody your contact information, Medros?
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter as Medros. I would definitely ask that you check out thedawnforge.com. There's a link there to all of the shows on the Dawn Forge Network. We're now up to 8 shows, including a Star Wars podcast called Chronicles of the Old Republic. Really fun show. We're hoping to relaunch that soon, and hope that we can have lots of great listeners who will give us their feedback and help make that a great show. Of course, my main show is All Things Azeroth, and that's at allthingsazeroth.com. We record that Monday nights usually, but that's possibly up in the air going forward. And hope to see some of you in game. I'm again on Grotto the Hutt server. That's Republic side, of course, but soon to be a Sith at some point, somehow, some class.
Thank you very much. We were really happy to have you today. You were an awesome guest, so thank you. We would also like to thank Hexa Jaeger and Grimkovs for their positive reviews on iTunes. And if you're listening and would love to leave a positive feedback for us on iTunes, just feel free to trot on over there and do that. You can subscribe to our podcast on both iTunes and Zoom. And you can find us on the Ego Networks at egonetworks.com.
And you can contact us through our website at CorellianRun.com. We also have Twitter and Facebook, which is up in the upper right-hand corner. Just click on it and it'll take you right there. You can leave us your questions or ideas for discussion topics on Twitter or by voicemail at 281-766-4511.
That wraps it up for us at Corellian Run Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again in the next week. Until next time, I'm Mare.
And I'm Carla. May the Force be with you.
You have been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Carla say...
Oh, lovely. I'm in a group with a prima donna tank. No heels for you, Betty.
End transmission.